Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Psychedelic therapies have been showing promising results in recent years. However, Dr. Howard Kornfeld says we need to tread carefully into this new age of medicine. Even well-known substances like ketamine should be handled delicately. While it's having a renaissance at the moment, ketamine has been around for years. It was developed just before the Vietnam War as a general anesthetic drug.
It was found to be a very safe way to put people who were on the battlefield or who were out somewhere where there wasn't a hospital, to give them a shot. And then they went into a state where you could do surgery on them or save their lives. It was found to be a very, very useful drug in acute care medicine.
Kornfeld, a specialist in pain and addiction medicine, says a main advantage of using ketamine was that it didn't stop the patient's breathing or lower their blood pressure. After its success on the battlefield, ketamine was FDA approved in 1970 as an anesthetic. Suddenly, people who couldn't find any relief for their chronic pain conditions felt better after being given an IV drip of the drug. But the benefits didn't end there. The first clinical research for using ketamine as a treatment for depression was in 2000. The paper revealed that this drug could significantly improve depressive symptoms within 72 hours. As word of this fast-acting antidepressant treatment spread, ketamine clinics began to pop up all over the country.
And then people realized that if they gave the ketamine as a shot, you know, an injection, that the blood level went up kind of high and then went down. And during that high, people did have a mini psychedelic experience. So all of a sudden, like, psychedelics were in, and then there was this one legal drug that could act like a psychedelic.
Kornfeld himself began using ketamine therapy in a rehab facility he founded called Recovery Without Walls. He offers it to patients as a supplement to their ongoing treatment plan for addiction or pain management. The process starts with a few psychotherapy sessions. Then, when the time comes, the patient lays down in a dark, quiet room that's designed for them to feel as comfortable as possible with a therapist present to guide them.
And so the patient really feels safe, and sometimes a scary memory can come up, or when the ketamine is peaking, the patient can feel like a loss of control. But usually if there's a support person right there, we just talk them through it and it passes relatively quickly. And then towards the end of the session, when the medicine is wearing off, the patient will kind of take their little eye shades off. They might peek out into the real world and kind of reintegrate in the room and with the therapist. And then usually there's a certain integration session. So usually a few days after the session, the therapist or the practitioner will meet with the patient again, go over what was learned, what should we plan for the future, etc.
The number of sessions varies for each patient and their progress. And though Kornfeld is quick to admit that it's not a permanent solution, he believes ketamine therapy is a valuable tool in a larger treatment plan. But that's not to say it's for everyone.
It's a very beautiful experience, and it could be very healing. And we do need this kind of thing in our medical system. But it could also go badly if the dose was too high and the person wasn't supervised, or then the person might get into a compulsive use of this. They want to keep going back there.
Ketamine activates the opiate receptors in our brain, which means that while some people have a meditative experience through therapy, others feel a euphoria that can lead to addiction. Since many patients in Kornfeld's clinic already deal with addiction issues, he says this worry is always top of mind.
There's always a chance that they'll love ketamine so much that they'll immediately leave our practice and they'll hit the streets and they'll die of ketamine addiction. It's always a possibility. But we find the incidence of that extremely unlikely if the way we're handling it in this medical supervision. But it's true with every kind of drug, like people who have attention deficit disorder are given Adderall, which is an amphetamine. You know, some of them may break into addiction. So it's kind of a risk with all of our medicine.
And the worry for many people is that this treatment will become a new version of the opioid epidemic. Kornfeld says that the regulations around prescriptions were loosened during the pandemic, which helped a lot of people who couldn't see their doctor in person. However, it also created a situation where ketamine was being shipped to patients' homes instead of having the treatment in a controlled and supervised facility.
There was such a pent-up enthusiasm for psychedelics that all of these entrepreneurs, you know, all of a sudden popped up and say, okay, let's give ketamine to the masses, you know, and use this loophole where we don't really have to see people in person and we could see them on screen and then have a pharmacy ship them ketamine, but not in an injectable form, but in what's called a lozenge. It's like a lifesaver where you suck on it and the medicine goes into the body.
Kornfeld thinks this strategy could threaten the future of ketamine therapy. The ability of patients to self-dose the drug could lead to more cases of drug abuse or addiction.
We don't want to reproduce this opiate problem. I was around when the whole opiate thing was happening because when I went into addiction medicine, OxyContin was just being introduced. And also, when I went into the field for decades, people had been, let's say, under-medicated for pain. There was almost too little opiates being prescribed for them. But then it kind of opened up where everyone with back pain was being prescribed the opiates. And then we had this horrible medically induced opiate epidemic that then just transferred over to street opiates like fentanyl and heroin.
Thousands of people die from opioid-related causes each year, according to the CDC. And while no one wants to see history repeat itself with ketamine, Kornfeld says it's a fine line between being careful and being ineffective.
Doctors are very hesitant to prescribe opiates, even to like people with pretty severe pain or older people whose lives are miserable. They won't prescribe it because they're sort of overreacting to the opiate epidemic. So what I advocate for is strong public health leadership. Let's not criminalize it, you know, but let's create strong public health guidelines and see if we can kind of pull back some of the looser medical prescribing of ketamine, keep it as medically supervised as possible.
It's important that we get it in control quickly because while ketamine may be the first that's FDA approved, it almost certainly won't be the last.
We haven't been able to use the psychedelic family of drugs. You know, we've been able to use tranquilizers and antidepressants and stimulants. But like a major class of drugs was made illegal, you know, back in the 1960s because of the counterculture and the LSD, you know, scares and everything like that. And now we have the opportunity to bring that class of drug back in a careful way.
You can find more information about Dr. Howard Kornfeld and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our production manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Greg Johnson.
Coming up next week on Radio Health Journal.
Suppose you had dementia, because I think it's a pretty likely outcome for a lot of us. What would happiness in that circumstance look like?
Reimagining how to live with dementia.
But first, suicide may be one of the most preventable deaths, but not all suicides can be prevented.
Not every person with thoughts of suicide shows us a sign. They might protect their loved ones and family from that. They might be showing someone else a sign, and it's quite possible there are no signs.
All that and more on Radio Health Journal.
I'm Elizabeth Westfield,
host of Radio Health Journal. If you enjoy listening to Radio Health Journal, you'll also like our sister show, Viewpoints, which covers a wide array of topics from education to history to the environment. Here's a preview of what they're covering this week on Viewpoints.
It's everything from not being able to read a newspaper article to not being able to understand a job instruction manual or a credit card agreement or a lease agreement.
The long-term effects of never learning how to properly read. Then,
what they're basically telling us as a speaker and a listener is, hold on, I need a lot of neural activation for this.
The deeper meaning behind our uhs and ums. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Listen to Viewpoints Radio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you for joining us this week and every week as we break down the science stories you need to know. You can find all of our past segments and guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X for daily content. And tune in next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.